AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson with you here on a Friday afternoon. Today's interview is with Peter Callahan of MinPost, as we are going to be talking about two topics. One has to do with funding for the Southwest LRT project, since you've probably heard with that light rail project recently that they have experienced a $500 million overrun and are going to be 3 years behind schedule. The other topic we'll be talking about has to do with healthcare costs and how some Minnesotans could be facing higher out-of-pocket healthcare costs if the state legislature does not renew their reinsurance program. So, Peter, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Okay, good to be here.
Absolutely. So let's start off talking about the Southwest LRT, because the title of the article you wrote is the $550 million question. Where exactly is the Met Council going to come up with the money to cover the Southwest LRT cost overruns? And this stems from the fact that back in January, the Met Council announced that it had renegotiated contracts to add 3 years and $500 million to the project schedule and budget, bringing it what it would term revenue service in 2027, which I assume means it would be relatively operational by 2027. The plan includes incentives and penalties for exceeding and beating that timeline. So, Peter, let's start off with, the obvious question. What was the reasoning behind the delay and these extra costs on what was already a project that had experienced delays and some cost overruns?
In a word, tunnel. Most of the problems they're having is this tunnel that they are digging just south of the Kenilworth Channel to squeeze in both the light rail tracks and the existing freight rail tracks. And by picking the route they picked, many years ago, actually Hennepin County picks the route, it required them to stack these sets of tracks on top of each other, and that required a tunnel there to squeeze all that train trackage through that area. And it's the tunnel that's causing all the problems. It's down into water tables. They've got bad soils that apparently boring and testing did not identify. And they just got to the point where the contractor said, no, I can't build this project given what you're paying me, given the timelines, based on what we found once we dug down in there. You also have the problem where it's running right by this condo building that was built in an old grain terminal. So they're concrete tubes. And as those people had predicted and feared, there's some cracking caused by the vibrations of setting these tunnel walls in. So if they were on the surface through there, if there was no freight rail through there that they had to accommodate, I don't think most of these problems would have happened.
And now to try to come up with this extra $500 million that's going to be needed, we're a little bit pinched in terms of where that money comes from, because as I understand it, the feds are already capped at contributing $900 million to the project. And meanwhile, at the county level, they're already contributing $135 million a year from a half-cent transportation sales tax. So it's going to be a challenge for the Met Council to come up with this $500 million. What are some of the ideas that they're talking about in terms of trying to get this funding?
Well, there's sort of these unspoken things that are going on here. The Met Council is pointing to Hennepin County, and Hennepin County is pointing to the Met Council. They're not doing it aggressively or very loudly, but the Met Council maintains that the local funding partner of this project is Hennepin County, that really Met Council doesn't pay for light rail projects. The federal government does, the local funding partner does. In the past, for the Green Line, for instance, that was both Hennepin County, Ramsey County, Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority, which has, property tax on your monthly or your annual property tax. The state put in construction money on that project. So the feds, once you say, here's our budget, the feds say, okay, we're going to pay half. Here's the agreement. From this day forward, we give you no more money. So when you sign that full funding grant agreement, you as the local funding partner, whichever that is on any given project, covers all cost overruns without going back to the feds. In this case, it's Hennepin County. Hennepin County is the local funding partner, not Met Council. What Hennepin County is saying is, see, we coughed up a lot of money for this project. We covered your last $200 million cost overrun. We don't think it's fair that we have to keep paying for this.
So looking at some ideas for trying to come up with extra funding. I know a big question people might be wondering about is, well, could property taxes go up as a potential solution to try to get this $500 million that's needed?
Well, there's nothing more complicated than the funding for rail projects than perhaps our next topic, which is reinsurance. But this thing is, there is funding sources that come off property tax. The Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority does have a property tax and can set different property tax rates. But they are capped by state law for covering no more than 10% of the local share, and they're not really that far from that. It's possible they have a little bit more capacity within their levy to put more money into this project. But the primary funding source for the county is a half-cent sales tax that they've been collecting since the county transportation improvement board or transit improvement board was dissolved about 5 years ago. And that's what's producing $135 million a year. But they're using that money not just for Southwest LRT. They're using it for a lot of other rail projects. I mean, rail and transit projects. They're using it to pay for some of the bus rapid transit projects. They're using it to start, hopefully, paying for the Bottineau extension of the Blue Line. And they have it programmed out, and they sort of say, look, we've programmed all this money out into the future, and there really isn't any more for your project. If you look hard, there is capacity in there, because part of what they have programmed out is the share of operating that Green Line extension starting this year. Well, we all know that thing ain't going to start this year.
Yeah.
So they probably won't need the $28 million a year from that sales tax that they thought they were going to be spending for operating the Green Line, because those things don't pay themselves through fare prices. So there is more money there that they could offer up to this project, and it's sort of what the Met Council would like to have happen, at least partly. But Hennepin County is reluctant to do that. They just don't think it's fair that they have to keep covering these costs. It's possible there are other federal funding sources, just not that main grant program that the full-funded grant agreement covered. There might be some federal kind of loan programs that they could tap into. There are some other funding areas that they could get. But what happened this week was the Met Council looked under the couch cushions around its own funds and helped come up with some of this money just to kind of keep the project funded through maybe the end of the year. The harder question, another $420 million, is yet to be solved.
And as I'm sure you'll probably agree with, unlikely any funding is going to come from the Capitol, given the political dynamic and the fact that we're in an election year with a split control of a state legislature. I imagine there's probably no chance any funding is going to come from the legislature this year.
Correct. The governor, in his budget proposal, asked for $200 million for the Bottineau extension. That's the one that goes up to the north end of Brooklyn Park. But no one really believed that was really money for Bottineau. What it probably would have done was to put $200 million into Bottineau planning and design so that Hennepin County could pull out the $200 million, you know, at least $200 million of its funding of that project and switch it back to Southwest. I don't want to call it a bait and switch because that's not what I mean, but it's definitely a money in, money out. And that funding, no one at the Capitol believes that funding was really for the Blue Line. And you're right. If it says light rail anywhere near it, the Senate Republicans are not going to approve it.
And what were to happen, because I've heard this idea floated before and I don't think it's really realistic, but what were to happen if we were just to say, we're going to cancel this project and wash our hands clean of this and not build the Southwest LRT anymore? I imagine there would still be costs in terms of trying to actually cancel this project.
Well, there's two things that the Met Council in Hennepin County agreed to when it signed that full funding grant agreement. One was if they canceled the project or didn't operate the project, they have to repay all federal funds. And by this year, maybe only $300 million of that $926 million grant has been sent to the Met Council. But the Met Council has borrowed money based on the fact that it can show the bank that they're going to get the rest of that money. So that doesn't really solve the problem. If I'm short $500 million And if I cancel the project because I don't have $500 million, I have to go find $900 million. So that's probably not going to work. And this thing is 60% built. The other thing you have to do, which I can't even imagine what that would look like or how much it would cost, is if you cancel a project, you have to restore the corridor to its pre-construction condition.
Yeah, good luck.
You have to rip out all the concrete, and you have to rip out the bridges, and you have to rip out the tunnel under, I forget what the highway number is out by Excelsior. You have to fill in everything that you dug along the Kenilworth corridor.
Yeah, so, and that's not going to be cheap.
You can't afford it.
Yeah, exactly. So they're pretty much locked into having to build this thing. So it's going to be a challenge to see how that funding is going to be come up for to try to finish the Southwest LRT project. We're speaking with Peter Callahan, covers state government for MinnPost over at MinnPost.com. Let's move on to another issue, and this one is a big one at the state capitol because it has to do with health insurance and reinsurance. Title of the article is "The Most Boring Issue at the Minnesota Legislature is Also One of the Most Consequential," and it's what to do about the state's reinsurance program, since this does help people, especially on the individual market, who don't get insurance through their health employers, actually find health insurance at an affordable cost. So, Peter, tell us, what exactly is the reinsurance program? What types of people are on it? How is this program funded, and what exactly it does?
Okay, you got 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah.
because this thing is any health insurance thing, any health coverage thing is, you know, immediately at the top of complexity in the Capitol and the U.S. Capitol. This is a post-Obamacare program where certain people don't get their insurance from their employer, don't get Medicare, aren't on Medicaid, do not have other sources of health insurance. And they have to go just buy a policy to cover themselves and their family. It also allows small employers to form small groups and sort of help their employees buy policies together. This is a couple hundred thousand people in the state. It's 4 or 5% of the state insurance market. But it's also the most volatile because there are not a lot of people in it to share costs. So when it first came in, the insurance industry didn't know what to do with it. They didn't want to offer policies. If you look, we can call back, policies were super expensive. A lot of counties had no one offering policies or only one company offering you a policy. And the excuse that the insurance company gave was, we don't know how to price this, and we're afraid there's going to be super expensive people, and we need to have enough money to cover, you know, somebody who got, you know, who got cancer, who had, you know, serious heart disease that took a lot of medical expenses. So in the pre-Obamacare days, you had something called the high-risk pool, and the state, you know, had some tax sources, sometimes taxes on premiums, and an insurance company or someone who couldn't get insurance because they had high risk could go buy a policy in the high-risk pool that they could afford, and it was subsidized. This is a version of that. So I sell you a policy, I give you a pretty good rate, but if you have some catastrophic health condition and your bills go up over certain levels, that insurance company can go to the reinsurance pool and get that pool to pay for those excess costs. And it allows the insurance companies to price the policy at a somewhat reasonable level. I'm not going to say it's cheap because it ain't cheap. And that has actually been successful for 5 years in stabilizing that individual market, keeping rates relatively low, lower than they would otherwise be. The controversy comes is, how do I pay for that, which is, you know, around $200 million a year. Right now it's just, you know, general fund, what the D's would like. At the very least, there's some sort of premium taxes or some means of charging insurance companies for that service. Actually, what they would prefer is goes even beyond that. They would like to have a Minnesota Care buy-in where anyone, just regardless of their income, could buy individual policies from the state's, essentially what is the Medicare insurance coverage. The R's don't favor that. The R's obviously don't favor other premium taxes. So the only thing they can get passed is this reinsurance program. But every year for the last 5 years, the Democrats in the legislature said, okay, what are you going to give us in return? It's been a bargaining chip. that the Democrats have been able to get things in exchange for. Last May, what they got in exchange was the $250 million in hero checks for frontline workers, which haven't been delivered yet, but that's what the part of the deal was. That's what they got in exchange for voting to extend reinsurance. But Brett, this also tells you why the D's don't want to extend this for 5 years. If I can get something every year in exchange for doing it, then they want to do it every year, not for 5 years.
So what were to happen if they don't reach an agreement on this program? I imagine people who fall into this category that are maybe high risk and that are buying individual plans on the Minnesota market right now, they would run into a lot of problems in terms of costs, since if insurance companies don't have access to this reinsurance program, I imagine their costs would increase pretty significantly.
Yes, and the Democrats who are leading on this acknowledge that, that they're somewhat up, in a box. They can't really say no and cancel the program for the reasons you just stated. They do argue that this was supposedly just a temporary thing to kind of bridge between the old days of the high-risk pool to Obamacare. The thing about Obamacare, remember, is you had to cover pre-existing conditions in your policies. You can't say, I'm not selling you a policy because you have a history of cancer or heart disease or whatever reasons they stated for not insuring you for pre-existing conditions. So these policies have to cover pre-existing conditions, and they're still trying to think of a way to not average out the costs of some super expensive patients, insureds. And you're right. The Democrats fear as well that it could, in fact, cause both companies to get out of the market. They don't have to offer these policies. Or if they do offer the policies, to charge rates that are even more unaffordable. But the other thing that the D's are trying to get this year is some guarantees that you offer policies that are actually worthwhile. The lowest cost policies tend to be these policies that have super high deductibles, meaning you get no coverage until you've run up $7,500 or $10,000 worth of hospital bills. So people have insurance, but it's really just catastrophic insurance. They want the companies to be required to cover more actual bills so that people who have these policies use the policies and get treated for things. They do require this preventative care to be covered at 100%. But somebody gets sick and they go like, I don't know, I think I'm okay, because if I go to the doctor, I'm going to have to pay $200 out of pocket. So they don't get care. So they want those policies to be more helpful to people. And they want the insurance policies to not just worry about what my monthly premium is, but what my out-of-pocket costs are at the end of the day, because those dollars are green as well. It's Terry Stevenson's ex-Stevenson, who's carrying it in the House, says it is an inartful program. That basically they're just buying down insurance premiums for people, and it really doesn't do any of the healthcare things that people say they want. Affordability, better care, better outcomes, preventatives, all the things people would like to see in the healthcare system, reinsurance doesn't do any of those things.
We'll have to see if an agreement can be reached on that. I can at least speak from firsthand information at one time being on that individual market. I do remember seeing the rates go down a few years ago, so I know that it does have some benefits. But as you said, it's kind of a temporary solution that has become sort of a permanent in the past few years. So we'll have to see if the legislature can reach an agreement. Otherwise, folks could unfortunately be seeing higher out-of-pocket costs when it comes to their health insurance and health care in the coming years. We have been speaking with Peter Callahan, who covers government at MinnPost, website minnpost.com. Make sure you give them a follow for the latest in Minnesota news and politics. Peter, appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, good talking to you.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.